Is air travel a nightmare for you? Or a hassle anyway? Or not so bad? Even better than it has been? With the holiday travel rush upon us and several issues involving air travel in the news, we thought it would be a good time to check in with the Association of Airline Passenger Rights about what's wrong and what's right with air travel today. And we'll welcome your gripes or your kudos. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, December the 14th. So did you hear the one about Alec Baldwin getting kicked off a flight because he kept playing a game on his cell phone after a flight attendant told him to stop? How about the one about the 85-year-old woman in a wheelchair who claims she was strip-searched by TSA? Two other older women have come forward to say they were inappropriately searched, too. Yet, complaints about TSA are down this year over last year. We'll talk about our rights as airline passengers this hour, and we'll welcome your questions and your experiences on a wide variety of air travel issues at 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Brandon Mixotta, Executive Director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights, which promotes fairer customer service and accessibility standards in the airline industry and seeks to improve passenger satisfaction. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, it's nice to have you back. Well, you know, we were prompted to do this show in part because of what happened to Alec Baldwin, and we don't know exactly what happened there, but what we hear is that he was playing a game on his cell phone while the plane was parked at the gate. It was delayed for some reason. A flight attendant said, "Stop it, put that away," and he wouldn't, and he eventually got kicked off the flight. What's your take on that?
Well, I sympathize with Mr. Baldwin because I, too, am addicted to words with friends. But the joking aside, you know, we not only as an organization fight for improving passenger rights, we also take a very firm stand on educating passengers that we also have responsibilities. And in this case, you know, Mr. Baldwin, when he was instructed by the flight crew to power down his electronic device, he was legally obligated to do so. You know, there's a whole debate over whether the electronic devices interfere with the tracking system in the plane and air traffic control. I come down on the side of the fence of those who say they don't. You know, from everything I've seen, they don't interfere. But the fact remains that when a flight crew instructs you to do something, you are supposed to do it. And as many planes as I've been on, I see it all the time. People wait till the very last minute, and they're still checking their phones. So in this case, Mr. Baldwin indeed should have powered down his electronic device.
Yeah, let's take a listen to when Alec Baldwin was on Saturday Night Live this past weekend, and he was impersonating the American Airlines captain, Steve Rogers, and making fun of the cell phone rule that got him into trouble. Let's take a listen to that.
Would you really get on an airplane that flew 30,000 feet in the air if you thought one Kindle switch could take it down? Come on! It's just a cruel joke perpetrated by the airline industry. And we would have gotten away with it, but Alec Baldwin was just too smart for us.
Well, all laughing aside there, too. He says it's a cruel joke. Why do we have this rule anyway?
Well, you know, if you talk to a lot of flight attendants, they'll tell you one of the reasons why they ask you to power down prior to takeoff is on every flight you get on, you will be provided with safety instructions. Well, if you're on your Kindle playing Words with Friends, you're not paying attention to the flight attendant. I would submit that probably half the passengers on the plane aren't paying attention anyways, but there is a process, and they are legally required to provide you with safety instructions, and they want your undivided attention. And, you know, if that something were to happen that plane while it was in the air or maybe going in for a landing, you're probably going to be thankful that you did pay attention to those safety instructions. There's a reason why they do it. So, again, putting the whole debate aside of whether we should be allowed to use our electronic devices in flight during takeoff or whatever, there is a reason why it's done, and as a passenger, we have a responsibility to follow the orders and the instructions of the flight crew.
Any comment on Mr. Baldwin's claim that the flight attendant singled him out while other people were playing on their phones?
Well, I mean, I'm not necessarily a big fan of Mr. Baldwin. He tends to get his name in the press every now and again. But the bottom line is, again, if he was singled out, he was singled out. And, you know, you as a passenger also have to recognize that when you're on a plane, your rights really are greatly diminished. You have to follow the orders of the captain and the flight crew. And in this case, you know, I wasn't there either, like you. But from the reports, it seems like he was told numerous times to power down, and he did not. And that's why he was escorted off the plane.
Yeah, he issued an apology, not to the flight crew of this American Airlines flight, but to other passengers, saying it was unfortunate they had to be delayed when he was kicked off the plane. And in this written apology to those other passengers, he talked about air travel and this American flight in particular being how it used to be nice to fly and nice to fly on American, but that now it's more like Greyhound bus travel. Your thoughts about that?
Joy, I think the only thing that is worse than air travel right now is spoiled milk. You know, you can't drink it, you can't smell it, you can't use it for cooking. You just have to throw it away. It's in large part because the airlines have created a silo around their business model, and they're totally tone deaf to the customer complaints. Part of it is the reality of today's travel. I mean, post 9/11, air travel has significantly changed, and we'll get into some of that, I'm sure, a little later when we talk about TSA. So, you know, he's right, but that doesn't mean that you have to then the right to ignore flight crew instructions. And part of the reason why air travel has become so uncomfortable is behavior like Mr. Baldwin. You multiply that, you know, if it's one passenger, then okay, fine. You multiply that times five passengers, times 10 passengers. I mean, how many times have you got on a flight and the passengers are fighting over who's going to put their bag in the bin? You know, so who's going to come on the plane first or get off the plane first? I mean, I've personally been whacked with bags numerous times, and you don't even get an apology. So there's a lot of reasons behind the, you know, air travel being less enjoyable than it was back in the golden era. But the fact of the matter is, in this case, he was given an instruction, and he did not follow it.
And just one last aside to this story. Apparently, some flight attendants at American Airlines are inquiring about whether they can have 30 Rock, the TV show that Alec Baldwin stars in, removed from the in-flight entertainment lineup. What do you think of that?
Well, I think we're stretching at this point. Now we seem to be getting into a grudge match, and on that one, I think we prefer to just stay on the sidelines.
You know, American Airlines recently filed for bankruptcy. What does this mean for passengers?
You know, Joe, I was at a Department of Transportation-sponsored flight diversion forum, and it was basically the purpose of this forum was to go over what happened on October 29th when we had that fluke snowstorm, and it just caused havoc in the air travel. And it was funny because we had a representative from American Airlines, and he introduced himself as, you know, John Doe from the nonprofit American Airlines. You know, this happens. You know, American Airlines was the last one to fall after 9/11. You know, we're clearly in a different era of travel. But, you know, I always come back to the airlines continue to operate in a very outdated business model. It's not working. And, you know, when you didn't have the low-cost carriers like Southwest and AirTran and others competing with them, they could survive, and now they're trying to survive in an environment that isn't really conducive to the hub and spoke model, which is basically where they fly everyone to one airport and then kind of shoot you off to wherever you're going. So when you have a lot of factors like post 9/11, less people are traveling, higher fuel costs, you know, management costs, you know, a lot of those things combined, it is hard. I mean, we sympathize with the airlines, but at the same time, we also look to the airlines and say, if you want us to be loyal customers, you need to get your act together, and then maybe you wouldn't be running into some of these financial problems, because as a traveler, you do have a lot of choices.
We are talking with Brandon Mixotta. He is Executive Director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights. Talking some about that incident in the news recently when actor Alec Baldwin was booted off an American Airlines flight when he was playing a game on his cell phone. Do you think Baldwin was in the right or wrong there? Or do you have any other questions or experiences that you would like to share? We're also going to be talking about some other issues in the news, including the TSA and the controversy over the TSA allegedly strip searching an 85-year-old woman who was in a wheelchair. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Have you had any particularly good or bad flight experiences lately? Anything about the airlines or airports that bug you? Or do you think things have greatly improved? Our guest will also answer questions about your rights as an airline passenger. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be a cloudy, mild day today with areas of rain statewide, mixed with snow in the northern part of the state. Fog is also possible. Highs today will be in the mid-30s in the north to the upper 40s in the far south. It's kind of strange having all this rain in the middle of December. Some of that rain will change to snow in northern Wisconsin. 1 to 2 inches of snow is possible tonight near Lake Superior. Lows tonight in the 30s in the north to the low 40s in the south. And tomorrow, less cloudy, a chance of snow again near Lake Superior tomorrow. Drizzle, freezing drizzle, and flurries are possible elsewhere. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, December the 14th. Thank you to everyone who contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio during our one-day Tuesday year-end pledge drive yesterday. Nearly 2,500 members pledged, and we are very pleased to welcome more than 500 new members to the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. You donated more than $190,000 to help the networks of Wisconsin Public Radio, your Wisconsin Public Radio station, and the programming that you depend on. Thank you so very, very much. We are talking about airline travel during this hour and your rights as an airline passenger and what's wrong and what's right with air travel today. Our guest is Brandon McSotta, Executive Director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And our first caller is John in Madison. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi, what's...
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Have you been on a plane recently?
I have, actually. I was forced to fly out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania to Florida for a family emergency. And I left a totally bad taste in my mouth from the Third Reich-type atmosphere of the flight crew where you have to listen to everything they say and do, as your guest Brandon has led to. Like everything that you say or do on the flight, it has life-threatening capabilities. Not to mention the whole fact that everybody in that industry seems to treat you as if they're doing you a favor by accepting your money and providing a service to you.
Yeah, like what kind of behavior did you, give us an example, John.
All right, well, the TSA thing, that's understandable to an extent, although it is outdated and it's reactionary. Whatever the latest threat was, Then they turn around and, the shoe bomber resulted in everybody taking their shoes off. The liquids, now you can't carry more than 3 ounces. The body scanners, I don't know about, the implications of that. But I didn't like that whole TSA thing to start with. It's just not. But then after you go through that misery and you get behind the gates and then you get, like you said, like Brandon said, everybody gets shuttled to Charlotte where you're surrounded by millions of people, or I'm exaggerating, of course, by thousands of people all going one this way and that way, and then you get in line and wait to take off in order to get to your final destination, And I understand the airlines industry, how they have to do that in order to have some kind of profit. The direct flight has gone the way of the past. You have to pay a fortune for a direct flight. But it was just the millions of people that were in the Charlotte terminal all at one time, everybody going for one, for their gate and bouncing up against each other. And it is, Americans aren't what they used to be, and you get the ones who say they're sorry and the ones that don't.
Yeah, but that sounds pretty miserable, Brandon.
Well, you know, John brings up a point, and unfortunately, from time to time, you will have a flight crew that, you know, whatever way you want to characterize them, as rude, arrogant, demeaning. You do experience that. I mean, keep in mind these flight crews are human beings. They work some crazy hours. They're away from home from days at a time. That's not an excuse. We are the paying customers. And I always come back to that you need to treat your paying customers with respect and dignity and hopefully win back their loyalty so that they come back to see you. But on the flip hand, oftentimes you fly and you have a flight crew that is just absolutely amazing. I flew recently over to Italy, and the flight, I don't think I've ever had a flight attendant. She was from Alabama. I don't think I've ever had a flight attendant more pleasant than this woman. I mean, she bent over backwards to accommodate the passengers that she was serving. So, I mean, you can have the good, and unfortunately you can have the bad, and every once in a while, as John pointed out, you can have the ugly. That's just the reality. I always tell passengers, especially during this travel season, is the last person you really want to tick off is anybody on the flight crew, because the bottom line is what they say is final. And if they don't want you on that flight, they don't even necessarily have to give you a reason. They can just kick you off the flight. They can just claim that you said something or you are a danger to the flight or whatever. And if the pilot decides it, you know, he's going to listen to the flight crew, you will be escorted off that flight, period. And as we saw in the case with Alec Baldwin, and he was rebooked. John, I think, expresses the frustration that most passengers have right now. If you poll the airlines right now among the general public, they poll about as well as Congress. And we know where Congress is polling
yes.
right now. You look at the numbers. Air travel is, consistent air travel is down. Airlines are reducing the number of flights that are available, and you have passengers looking for other alternatives, whether it's Greyhound that you kind of jokingly referenced about earlier, or Amtrak, or maybe they're getting in their car. I mean, during Thanksgiving, car travel, according to the American Automobile Association, was up 12.5%, I think, this Thanksgiving holiday. So I think John's frustrations are reflective of the broader flying public.
Yeah. Thank you very much, John, for the call. Yeah, John told my producer, Amanda Magnus, that he would rather drive than fly again. And more people are doing that, you're saying.
Well, you know, the unfortunate thing, Joy, is we are a captive market. Because if I have to be I'm in Washington, D.C. today. If I have to be in Phoenix, Arizona tomorrow for a business meeting, or maybe there's a family emergency, I can't drive. I can't take Amtrak. There's one way I can get there. You know, my Superman cape is at the dry cleaner, so I can't fly there on my own. I have to get on a plane. And that's really what is unfortunate as travelers. I mean, yes, I said earlier we have choices of airlines. We do. Sometimes if it's a smaller regional airport, you really don't have any choices. There may only be one airline that flies into there. But that's what makes it so frustrating for passengers is in a lot of cases, there's only one way to get there. And if that experience is what John just went through, going from Harrisburg down to Florida for a family emergency, it's probably going to be a while before he gets on a plane again.
Now, do the airlines know, Brandon, that passengers like John are really fed up, and are they trying to do anything to address these concerns?
You know, Joy, there's two words that I hate being used together in the same sentence. Yeah, comma, but.
Okay, yes,
and when
but.
When I was at this DOT forum, it was a passenger rights forum, and I was accompanied by maybe two other passenger rights, consumer rights organizations, and the rest of the room was filled with government officials from Homeland Security, TSA, was filled with airport executives, it was filled with airline representatives, and everything coming out of the government agencies and everything coming out of the airlines was, yeah, but. The only people in that room, other than the consumer advocates, who really seemed to be saying, we need to find solutions to make this happen, were the airports. The people who represented the port authorities and the airports. I mean, they were fabulous. But the airlines were just like, you know, with a few exceptions, and I won't name names, there were a few exceptions, but, you know, even the trade group, the Air Transport Association, which is the trade group that represents the airlines, everything was yeah, but. Yeah, but the fuel costs. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. And you get to a point where it's like, and in fact, one point he started speaking on behalf of passengers and said that, you know, his argument was this tarmac delay rule, which we fought so hard to get, actually doesn't, most passengers don't want it. And I kept my mouth shut because I didn't want to get into an argument with the guy that don't speak for passengers. If you want to speak for airlines, that's fine. But the passengers right now are extremely unhappy. It's evidenced by the polling. It's evidenced by focus groups. It's evidenced by what they're doing with their pocketbooks and their wallets. They're going in other places. And it's evidenced by callers like John who are calling in saying, I'm not going to fly again.
We have another call from Sean in Oshkosh. Hello, Sean.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good. What's your experience with air travel, Sean?
Generally, I don't have a problem with it. I like to get to my destination safely, and that's what they do when I fly. I guess I have more of a gripe with the TSA. The last time I flew, it was from Milwaukee to Dallas. And going through Milwaukee, it was my understanding that it's an option to go through the scanner or have a pat-down. I told them that I would prefer the pat-down, and the TSA agent told me, no, I had to go through the scanner. I didn't care for that. But as far as the flight crew, they were great. I got there in one piece, and I was happy with that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk. We only have a minute or so, or 2 minutes before a news break, Brandon. The TSA, I'm reading here that complaints against TSA are down from a year ago. Your thoughts?
Well, two things, Sean. What the TSA agent told you that you had to go through the scanner is absolutely false. Unequivocally, that is false. You have the right to opt out. And all you need to say to the TSA agent is, I am opting out. And if they ask you why, you do not even need to tell them why. You just need to say, I'm opting out. And you can go, therefore, with a pat-down. So you were misinformed by that particular agent. Joy, to your point about complaints being down, compare it to last year and all the fury that surrounded TSA last year.
Right.
So, I think it's one of those things that it's relative. Sure, complaints are down, but look at what was going on last November. There was actually a flyout where passengers were being told to, not fly, or they were being told to, slow the process down on purpose and not go through the scanners and have everybody, opt out.
That's right. And plus, someone like Sean may not have reported that formally as a complaint, too, what
Correct.
Happened to him.
Correct.
We will talk more about the TSA, and we'll get to this issue where this elderly woman, an 85-year-old woman in a wheelchair with a medical condition, says she was strip searched. We are talking about our rights as airline passengers with Brandon Masada. And we welcome your thoughts, your questions, and your experiences. 1-800-642-1234. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about holiday travel during this hour on planes, not on trains or automobiles. And we are welcoming your questions and experiences for our guest, who is the executive director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:36 on this Wednesday, December the 14th. Our conversation was prompted by many plane travel issues in the news recently, including actor Alec Baldwin getting booted off that American Airlines flight recently for playing a game on his cell phone and not powering down his cell phone when told. We are also going to talk about the outcry from some in Congress over the alleged strip search of an elderly woman in a wheelchair by TSA officers. And should they be called officers? There's a proposal to strip TSA security personnel of that title. And we'll talk about those baggage fees and our guests' a call on the airlines to do away with the baggage fees this holiday season. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Brandon Masada. He is the executive director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights, which promotes fairer customer service and accessibility standards in the airline industry and to improve passenger satisfaction. So, Brandon, what do you make of this 85-year-old woman in a wheelchair who says that she was strip searched? And now two other older women have come forward as well to say they were inappropriately searched by TSA recently. What are our rights along those lines?
Well, Joy, in the interest of full transparency, AAPR, our organization, has been probably one of the most vocal critics of TSA, and your listeners can go to our website, which is www.flyfriendlyskies.com. That's all one word, flyfriendlyskies.com, and go to our press page, and you can see the press releases that we've issued. I think this is just another string in a series of events where TSA has just really overstepped its authority. I wasn't there, so I don't know if this woman was indeed strip searched. So I think there's a couple things that probably have happened. One, I have been at an airport in line when I've seen an elderly man or an elderly woman pulled aside for additional screening, and I kind of scratch my head and say, that's funny, I don't remember the last time a hijacked plane was done by somebody in a wheelchair. Of 88-year-old woman in a wheelchair, but nonetheless, that's the reality we're in with TSA. But you also, I think, have to look at it from a cultural standpoint that the older generation of Americans aren't as open as, say, my generation. I'm 38 years old, and anything that could be, anything that can be construed as I'm going to, pat your butt with the back of my hand, or I'm going to put my fingers down the inseam of your pants to see if you have anything around your waistline, probably is a little bit uncomfortable for these people, this generation. So I don't know if that's a case, if that was just something where she thought she was being strip searched, or if indeed she was. But I have to take this woman's word at face value. And if she says, I've seen her interviewed on TV. She seems to be pretty coherent. The family is standing by her, and I think when you look at some of the activities surrounding TSA and their treatment of passengers with disabilities, and treatment of young children. I mean, we saw the story of the young kid who had a toy gun taken away from him. I think it certainly is consistent with some of the behavior of TSA. And whereas some organizations have called for more training of TSA officers, we fully support that, but we also look at whether TSA is an outdated agency because it was formed immediately after 9/11.
And now there's also some Congress members who are saying maybe we ought to change the name of a TSA officer because they say you may look like cops and dress like cops, but you're not the cops.
Exactly. This is legislation that was introduced by Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. It is called the STRIP Act, and basically what she's proposing to do is strip the title officer from TSA. And this is relevant because TSA is not a law enforcement position. They have no arrest authority. The badge that they have is not a government-issued, like, law enforcement badge, and they do not have the authority to carry firearms. They're really not an officer in the true sense of the word officer. And I think a lot of times passengers are intimidated, and quite frankly, I've seen some very intimidating TSA officers. I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where you can have some really good flight crews, some really bad flight crews, and some really ugly flight crews. I've seen TSA agents who frankly have a chip on their shoulder and think that they're God and whatever they say goes. And I think it's unfortunate. I think it's another example of this agency just really being out of touch. And quite frankly, I know their job is about providing security, but when you look at a lot of the things that they're involved in, a lot of the things that they make passengers go through, and if you know the studies behind them and that they indeed do not make air travel safer, it really begs the question, then why are we doing it?
Yeah. And are there too many TSA agents? Another congressman said TSA stands for thousands standing around. Apparently the workforce grew 6% last year. Now there are nearly 55,000 full-timers. And TSA says they need those people to perform the duties they're supposed to perform.
I think it's an accurate characterization, unfortunately. And like I said, in the interest of accountability, we've probably been one of the biggest vocal critics of TSA. We've actually written letters to Congress calling for alternatives. I'm on a plane, Joy, at least once a week versus somebody who maybe flies once a year for the holidays. And why we don't have divided security lanes or more divided security lanes where it takes me probably 20 seconds to go through security. I can have my shoes off, my laptop out, my liquid and gels out, 20 seconds flat and I'm through versus somebody who doesn't know they got to take their belt off. They got to take the lip balm and their coin, loose coins out of their pockets. And I think that would clearly improve air travel. In the expediting the process, making it more secure so that they're concentrating on certain passengers over others. And it just is one of those things that TSA takes two things. It takes a one-size-fits-all approach, but it goes back to what John stated earlier in your program, that everything TSA does is reactionary. The fact that we are the only country that you still have to remove your shoes because of the shoe bomber is absolutely a laughing stock in other countries. As it relates to how they go through your security screening.
Well, if you have an air travel experience that you'd like to relay, or if you have a question for Brandon Maxada, Executive Director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights, call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And our next caller is Dean in Antioch, Illinois. Hi, Dean.
How you doing?
Good. What's your question?
My question is about you carry on luggage. I had the experience one time of a flight from Dallas to Chicago of, carry on bags. I like to carry on a bag because I like a change of underwear and my toiletries with me. And on this particular flight, they had some airline attendants who were repositioning, so they had to have their carry on bags. And then I noticed a lot of other passengers, they have a carry on bag that's really huge and a personal item. It equals the size of a regular piece of luggage. Now, I'm usually one of the last people to check on because I don't fly that often, and that's fine, but can the airline force me to check my bag? Or I don't know what the rules are or the regulations are on that, because I do not want to relinquish my carry-on bag because I have it, so that I have the security of having the checked items I need in case my luggage doesn't come with me to my destination.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Brandon?
Well, Dean, that's a great question, and that really just opens up a whole bag of worms. A couple things. It comes back to what I started the program off with. We as passengers have responsibilities as well as rights, and I see passengers try to get on planes with three bags instead of two. You're absolutely right. Passengers get on with two bags that are equal in size, and they're not necessarily under the legal definition of a bag and a carry-on. Part of this is in part because of an adverse reaction to the airlines and their baggage fees. People are trying to avoid paying these baggage fees, so they're carrying on more luggage in bigger luggage and not having to check it. Unfortunately, that leaves people like you who don't travel a lot and are usually in the later zones of the boarding process with very little room left for your baggage. And unfortunately for you, in your case, yes, the airline can make you check your bag. If they determine that there's no space for it and it is a safety risk, if it will not fit under the seat in front of you, the only thing they can't do is they can't charge you for it. So that's your only relief. So if you are going to be indeed bringing on a bag with you, my advice to you is see if you can't pack a smaller bag so that it will fit underneath the seat in front of you, because if it fits under the seat in front of you, you have met the legal criteria for that bag, and in that case, there's no reason for a flight crew to make you check it.
Yeah, and it would be nice if the airlines would enforce and not allow people to bring two huge suitcases on as carry-ons.
Well, you know, they're supposed to do that. They're also supposed to enforce people not getting on a plane with more than two bags. I mean, this is a case where the flight crew, Joy, could actually get fined by the FAA if there's an FAA inspector. But I see it all the time. So it comes back to, again, we have responsibilities. Maybe passengers don't know their responsibilities. In a case like Dean, you know, he seems pretty educated on the flying protocol. But, you know, if you only fly maybe every couple of years, maybe you don't know that you only get to bring on one bag and one carry-on, and he doesn't or she doesn't know the size of that carry-on.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, people are trying to probably avoid the fee, the baggage fee. You would like to see the airlines give us a holiday on those baggage fees.
Our organization issued a challenge to the airline baggage fee-free holiday challenge. Of course, Joy, surprise, surprise, the challenge has not been even acknowledged by the airlines. We have had a little bit of press over it, but, you know, times are tough right now. People are struggling, and, you know, the one nice thing about the holidays is you get to take a break, you get to go see your family and you know, kind of catch up. And enjoy yourself, hopefully enjoy yourself with family. I guess it depends on how loud the family is at dinner time. But, you know, there's been absolutely no reprieve. The baggage fees are actually going up. They collected, I think it was $1.5 billion so far this year, last quarter. So they're clearly raking us over the coal with these fees, and it's putting people like Dean in a position where he goes to get on a plane with a small bag, and he can't.
We are talking with Brandon Maxada, Executive Director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights. And we're welcoming your questions for him and your experiences as a as an airline passenger recently. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have provided a link on our Facebook page to Brandon's website, and we also have that on our website at wpr.org/joy. Quick check of the weather for today. It's going to be cloudy with rain statewide, mixed with snow in the Northwoods. Highs today, mid-30s in the north, upper 40s in the south. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, December the 14th. Coming up after 7, it's our big question debate. We'll welcome in two state lawmakers who will debate this week's big question on the new mining legislation that was unveiled last week and is the subject of a public hearing near Milwaukee today. That's our big question coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking about air travel issues and your rights as an airline passenger for the rest of this hour. And our next caller is Kathy in Richland Center. Hi, Kathy. I understand you have a positive story.
I do. Mm-hmm. We travel back and forth to Puerto Rico once a year. And last year, the day before we were to fly back, my wallet was stolen out of my car with all of my ID. I had no ID at all. And we filed a police report, and I went to the airport the next morning early, and the TSA people could not have been more kind and more helpful to me. They called the police department. They couldn't get their system to work to look up my passport number and my driver's license. So they ended up calling the police department where we filed the report and verifying my story. They let me on the plane, and the whole time they explained to me that I would have to be patted down to get on the plane. And the whole time they were doing that, they were apologizing to me for doing it. This isn't the case in every flight. We fly at least once a year, and the TSA people are normally pretty aloof but not rude. But this crew was the best. They were just fantastic. I was scared to death I wasn't going to be able to get on the plane because I had absolutely nothing to show who I was.
Yeah, that must have been scary. Brandon, what about that?
Kathy, if it was me and I lost my wallet in Puerto Rico, I might have just stayed there. So maybe you should have thought about that, you know. Well, first of all, a couple of tips for you. Whenever you travel, especially if you're traveling overseas, but even if you're traveling to New York City or, you know, into Madison, Wisconsin, always have a photocopy of your passport and your driver's license. Put it in your purse, put it in your suitcase somewhere, because that will certainly relieve a lot of the stress if you indeed lose your wallet or if your wallet or purse is stolen, as in what happened with you. So, you know, to all your listeners, you should always travel with a copy of your passport. If you don't have a passport, then at least your license, because at least they can verify who you are. So that's something to keep in mind. But, Kathy, I mean, you bring up a good point, and that's what I tried to raise earlier with respect to flight crews and TSA, and that there are examples of the good, bad, and the ugly. I can tell you right now, I fly a lot a couple times a year into Wilmington, North Carolina. It's a small beach community on the Atlantic coast. They have probably some of the best TSA agents in the country. They're polite. They're professional, they're courteous, and they do their job really well, and they know how to move a line. It's not a big airport, it's a regional airport, but, you know, every once in a while there will be a lot of passengers, and they know how to move a line because they know their job. If it's a passenger with a disability, I've seen them treat them with respect, and they know their routine, they know it down pat. However, there are other airports, as I've stated with this case with this woman who allegedly got strip searched, and others. I know it's happened to me personally. There are other TSA agents and on other airports that the only way I can describe it is they're clueless. And these are the people who are in charge of ensuring our safety and security.
Kathy, thank you for sharing that story. Sabrina in Eagle River is with us. Hello, Sabrina.
Good morning. My question for Brandon is, what are his thoughts on the practice of chat downs, which they had discussed in the news like a couple months back, and I don't know if it's been something that was actually implemented or if they went away from it, but I haven't heard anything further. So I was wondering what his thoughts were.
The chat down, that's when it was asking questions of a passenger to see if they're shifty?
She kind of broke up when she was asking. So I'm not. Does she mean the physical pat down?
No, she was talking about the chat down.
Oh,
and whether or not that is going to happen, I guess.
They're doing it in select airports, and Sabrina and other airports. They're doing kind of what I alluded to earlier, where there's kind of special lanes for the advanced traveler who can go in and out much more quickly. So they're doing things in different airports, and they're what they call pilot programs. They're testing them out to see if they work. And quite frankly, we think that the chat downs are effective. It's kind of modeled after what they do in the Israeli airport. And if you're trained well enough, you can certainly pick up on inconsistencies in people who make, you know, quote unquote, quote unquote, shady. I think it's a lot less intrusive physically. Some people may find it more intrusive, you know, in terms of privacy. But again, when we recognize, you have to recognize when you're flying, you are relinquishing some of your rights. What we're trying to say as an organization is we want more of a balance between security and privacy. We don't think that is the case right now. We think the pendulum has swung way over to security, and yet a lot of the quote-unquote security measures do not actually improve or enhance security. They just make it much more cumbersome. They do impede on our privacy rights and, quite frankly, make travel a heck of a lot less comfortable, and in some might even argue make it less safe because it's diverting resources from more proven strategies.
Sabrina, thank you. Wendy in West Bend is with us now. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning. My question is not about airport security. It's just an airport question in general. 2 years ago, my sister and I were flying to our third sister's wedding in California. The sister that was supposed to travel with me is a very large woman. And I think we were actually in the concourse when we found out that she would have to purchase two seats in order to accommodate her bulk. And there was a kind of an incident, and I'm wondering if that regulation has changed where if a passenger is of a larger size, they still are required to purchase two seats, or if it's just recognized that it's a single individual of a larger size.
Boy, I'm so sorry that happened to you, Wendy. We talked to Brandon about this when it was really in the news a year or so ago. Brandon?
Well, Joy, as you know, we could probably talk about this all day, but I'm trying to get it down to a minute. First of all, it's not a government regulation. This is a airline-by-airline policy. Probably the two airlines that are most strict on passenger of size policies are United and Southwest, in which they do have the discretion to charge a passenger of size for two seats. We have come out against that. We think a better solution would be to retrofit planes with a couple of rows with larger seats and govern the issuance of tickets with those seats the same way they do with emergency exit rows. We contend it shouldn't be the size of the person's rear end that is at issue, but rather the size of the seat that the rear end is sitting in. These seats are extremely small, they're extremely uncomfortable, and we're crammed in like sardines. Unfortunately, this is a story we hear over and over again. It's not just uncomfortable for the passenger who's sitting next to the passenger of size. It's also uncomfortable for the passenger of size. And I think, again, we need to come back to striking a balance. In Canada, there is actually a protection, but it's in favor of the passenger of size. It is a one person, one fare policy that is protected by law. They consider weight to be under the same class as disability, because in fact a lot of times a person's weight has nothing to do with what they eat or how little they exercise or whatever the issue you may want to generalize. It is clearly an issue related to health because of a disability or a physical ailment. So there's a lot of issues that kind of intertwine in this issue. It's not a government regulation in the United States that would have prompted that to happen.
Well, we're going to send people, if they have more questions about their rights, to your website. Brandon, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Brandon Mixotta, Executive Director of the Association for Airline Passenger Rights. And we have linked to his website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and on WPR.org/joy. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Amanda Magnus for producing the show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.